Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you're calling from, I'm greeting you in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am Lead Pastor Apostle April, and I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to come before you on this morning and greet you in the name of Jesus. I honor each and every one of you all on this line, all of our visitors. If this is your first time calling, welcome. I hope that you have sensed God's presence on the line. If this is something that you don't normally do, you've never got on a conference line before, this is so new to you, well, I hope that you can recognize God's hand in this and that you can feel his presence, the love, the excitement he has for you to recognize that he is for you. And to all of our KCI members, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you on this beautiful day. And to my husband, hallelujah, my husband, my pastor, my apostle, the love of my life, I honor you on today, and I just want to say hello, and I love you, and I just want to honor you before your people on today. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm so excited.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm so excited because I love the Lord. I really do love the Lord. I sacrifice greatly. Whatever he asks me to do, I just do it. And not many people I've come to meet in this lifestyle are really sold out for God. Sure, we speak it. We always say how we love God with all my heart. But when God really calls you to sacrifice and to suffer for his name's sake, you'd be surprised how many people become ghosts or how many people are soon to reject what God is calling them to, and they decide to take their own route in this life. And I just said, God, I'm really going to live for you. If you study a word of God, anyone that's devoted unto the Lord, they give up their own life, and they pick up the cross, and they follow after God. And I talk to people about my life, and I tell people often about my sacrifices, and they may not be your sacrifices. We are all different. We are all called to have a different testimony. But I tell people, I said, my sacrifice is expensive. How desperate I am to get the things I need from God. I recognize that he gives us the foundation, which is the word of God. But then there comes the relationship thereafter. And in the relationship, that's where the pursuit takes place. Because God, he tells us in the word of God. He says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. So that's some chasing words. That's a strategy to me when I read it that I'm going to have to pursue something. I'm going to have to give up something to draw nigh unto him. I don't know about you, but you can't chase after God while you're slipping and tipping and dipping. I don't see how I'm seeking God with everything in me, but when you tell me about some of the decisions you make, you decide to stay knowingly in sin, and you think that God's going to draw nigh unto you and promote you in the things of the Spirit. It doesn't work like that. You're going to have to give up something in order to chase after God. Because the closer you get with God, the more there's a transformation to become like him.
Amen.
You have to give up something to chase after God. That is your seed. That is your seed. That is what you give up. But it will reap a harvest of a close relationship. Every ministry has a culture. Every job has a culture. Your home has a culture. Your house might be different from the culture of my house. I've been over people homes where they didn't speak over a decibel level of 4. Everything was in a whisper. No, we don't talk loud here. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You won't go to heaven because of it. That's just your culture. I've been over people houses where you scream everything that you need. Hey, Kenny, bring me that piece of cake. Hey, I need some toilet tissue. Come down. I need to, you know, I bring me the remote. You know, I've been over home where that's their culture. I've been over people's houses, and I've been in places of establishment, businesses, where the culture is very laid back. You wear flip-flops. You wear shorts. And then I've been in cultures of businesses where, you know, you don't wear anything unless it's really not even business casual. You need to be dressed up in a full suit and tie. Your shoes need to be shine. You need to wear heels. Ladies always in heels. So it's the culture of the environment. And I come to realize that everyone's different. But in this culture of KCI, we teach about the relationship. It's not necessarily
Amen.
About the religion. It's not about the tradition. It's about the relationship. And whenever you're pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to give up something. I've given up so much to be with God because I put it on a scale. I put it on a balance scale. And I put my priorities, my wants, my desires on one side, and then I put my love for Jesus Christ on the other. And if my desires, my goals, my aspirations outweighed what God wanted for my life, I knew I had to do some editing in my life. Because I don't ever want to tip the scale where it's rolling in my fleshly desires more than my pursuit in God's relationship. And when I decided to give up everything for the Lord, he began to use me even more. He began to use me even more. He began to tell me, if you're really serious, then I'm going to need you to leave your hometown. You were born
Amen.
And raised in that house. I spent almost over 20 years in that house. Living with my family, living with everyone within a 20-minute drive, generations, my parents, my siblings, my uncles, my aunties, my grandparents. He said, I'm going to change what you are comfortable. I'm going to bring you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to get you out of familiarity. And I, you know, most people, especially if you have family living around you, you never had to travel to see your family, and God tells you to pack up and leave. Even beyond that, he said, I want you to leave your father's ministry first. That's a big thing because that was what we all knew. We grew up with my father's ministry. He's a pastor, for those of you all that do not know. And he probably had ideas for us, probably would promote my husband to be an elder, may use me as an evangelist. He probably thought he would leave the church to us. But God shook that tree up, and he said, I'm going to need you all to leave. Because what I'm doing is a different vision than your father, and you won't be able to grow in his house. I've called you out to be separate, and that's what we did. Even though it was not a favorable decision, in our quest to seeking God, we had to give up a lot. I'm just going to talk to you today. There's some things the Lord wants me to talk to you on today, and I hope you're listening. I just want to share some things with you. Maybe in the course of this, you'll learn more about me. You'll learn more about KCI, or you'll learn more about yourself. But in order to pursue and really do things that God wanted me to do, I had to put my family on hold. In other words, my husband and I've raised children my whole life. I've been an auntie mom. If you read my book, I mentioned that a little bit. I've raised babies. Even my husband, before we got together, he had a baby girl who was about to turn 2 years old, helped potty train her, woke up in the middle of the night. You know, I've dealt with my nieces and nephews. They experienced some trauma when they were younger, so they would wake up in the middle of the night screaming and crying, and I would get out of the bed and pray over them and rock them and sing them back to sleep. I know what it's like to raise kids, to discipline them, to raise them in the things of God, especially children that have been through a lot of transitions in their life. But my husband and I don't have children together. And it's not because we didn't want to. Part of it is because of my health issue. In the beginning of my marriage, I was a woman with the issue of blood for over 15 years. I bled constantly. So, of course, that prevented us from really having a child. But God has healed me, praise God, since then. But even then, we made the conscious decision not to have children. Why? Because we thought it would be selfish to have a child while God has already given us a baby to birth out, the baby which is KCI. We were pregnant with KCI for a long time, And as we were having labor pains and contractions to birth out KCI, I didn't think it'd be appropriate to begin a family and birth out a natural-born baby. Not many women would think about that. Not many women really think about, God, what ministry do you have inside of me? And how can I birth out that ministry first before I start getting kids on my own time? Because, you know,
right.
As a mother, as a father, that baby takes priority, and rightfully so. You got to nurture the baby. You got to discipline the baby. You got to rear up the baby. You got to focus on him or her. You got to teach them all types of things. You are their teacher. You got to teach them about colors and numbers and rainbows, right or wrong, discernment, wisdom, God, Jesus, the devil. You got to teach them everything. So that is what you should always focus your attention on, of course. But my husband and I recognized that we had a great vision, and we made the decision to hold off on having children. Of course, my husband wants babies. He sometimes, in the middle of the night, just rubs my stomach and says, I can't wait when we're able to have the freedom to raise our children. A lot of times in the pursuit of getting God's impartation, because we recognize that there are great generals here on the earth, but it won't be convenient. If you're waiting for a great general sometimes to come and knock on your door, I'm thinking the chances are slim. You're going to have to go out there and seek them. Some of you all, praise God, you've already found them. I believe connecting to this ministry, you have found a great resource that will allow you to develop and grow in the things of God. But as we were leaders, we needed a greater impartation, and we couldn't find it near us. The sacrifices we made to be able to travel to these great generals to have impartation, having no money, because every cent that it took to get there, it would leave us with no offering. You know, most of you all in my book, I've mentioned it. I gave my wedding ring. That was my only offering. I wanted to give something of value. I wanted to give something of riches because I'm coming before a king. That's why we teach honor so strong at KCI. Whenever you come, a lot of times we talk to people that have no boundaries, no sense of respect. Yo, bro, I need a miracle. Yo, sis, you know, I'm having a hard time. Give me some money. Yeah, we get approached by that. We get approached like that. But we recognize in the spirit, and that's why we teach you all, whenever you come before a great apostle, whenever you come before somebody that has first ground, you come with an offering. You come with honor because you're honoring a king. We are kings in the spirit. Even you ladies are kings. Well, I'm a woman. I'm a queen. Understand that in the Bible, God used masculine terms. So you are a king.
That's
so when you
right.
come before someone, if you can discern, first it starts with you. You have to discern that who you're coming before. You have to discern that who you're coming before actually holds the solution for your problem. And if you really do understand and believe wholeheartedly that who you're coming before holds the solution, God has gifted us with the glory of God, the power of God, with our decrees, things happen. We speak it in the angelic angels, the angelic forces that God has given us command over, rule over. They respond to our decrees, and they go to work on your behalf. And let me tell you something. Go on our YouTube page. Go on our Facebook page. Look on our website. It doesn't happen 6 months down the line. Miracles happen in really instantaneously or within 24 to 48 hours.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Even with things happening 2 weeks later, it's kind of like, wow, that took a little while. When people are used to saying, well, I've been praying for 6 months, it's going to happen. God is saying, I work in the now. The things you've been waiting on, it could be a difference of just what fertile soil you are sowing in. But there was a price to have that fertile soil. We didn't just wake up and say, we are here. God's glory is here. We had to labor. Some of you all have not even done this, but my husband and I, we do all night hour powers. What does that mean? We would start at 11 p.m., sometimes 10 p.m., and we wouldn't sleep. We would seek God all night long. And I don't mean taking a break and going to sleep for 20 minutes and then waking up and going back to prayer. We would pray. We would worship. We would sing songs. We would turn on every light in the house so it wouldn't even give off a slight dim, you know, kind of relaxed mood. We would brighten the house up, and we would seek God from 11 or 10 p.m. all the way until 6 a.m. the next morning.
Amen.
And guess what? I was still
my
working.
God.
I was a full-time employee. I wasn't working part-time, and I had a real job. I was a salaried executive. They don't even know the night before, but I was good. God gave you grace for it. See, if you seek him, if you really seek him, God is not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to let you be all worn down. It was supernatural how God kept me through a lot of the stuff I've done because he recognized the sacrifice. I needed something from God. I needed more discernment. I needed more wisdom. I needed him. And when you need God and you seek after him, he'll keep you. And he kept me. All I had time to do, because I had to be at the house pretty much about 7 a.m., I could only brush my teeth, fix my hair, do my makeup, and then I had to get back out and I had to go to work. Now, we had just finished praying. I didn't sleep all night. And God kept me that day. These are things that we did not just once, but twice. As my husband explains, it's a curse word. It's a curse word in the body of Christ, fasting. No, she didn't say that. Yes, I did. Fasting is like a curse word. We did that. We recognize the power of fasting, how it humbles the flesh. It quiets the flesh down and feeds the spirit man so that God can truly use you and speak through you in that time. I tell people all the time, they say, well, fasting, I don't know if it really does. You're just starving a body. There's a lot of things to talk about how you're dying when you're fasting. And I just bring it back to the Word of God. There's so much I could say about fasting, but I'm not talking about fasting today. But I put it like this. Even with Esther, Queen Esther, her people, a whole ethnicity of people, were going to be genocide. They were going to be killed and slaughtered, wiped from the face of this earth. Through her fasting, we call it an Esther fast because it's dry fast, no water, no beverages, no food, a real fast. Through 3 days of fasting, saved a whole race of people. Now you tell me the power of fasting. And all you need is a headache healed. All you need is just for the stomach aches and pains. I said, just think about it. If 3 days of fasting the way Esther did saved a whole race of people, what can a fast do for your small problems? It puts it in perspective. But it gets God's favor. It gets his attention. I've done many, many, many fasts. Esther fast, dry fast. That's usually the fast I go after because when you reach a certain plateau, those little salad fasts and stuff, you need something more powerful. I'm not down in that. I think it's wonderful. At least you're fasting. But I'm telling you, I do the Esther fast. No water, no food. Because what I need from God is powerful and it's not common. God uses ministry in an uncommon way. We teach strong in KCI. We teach strong so that why? You can withstand issues that you got to go through in your life. Most of you
Amen.
Are on this line. I've been through some things that you've not told me about. Maybe I'll learn them. Maybe I'll never know. Some of you all on this line have been molested. Some of you all have gone through rape issues, rejection, blasphemy. Some of you all on this line have been abused verbally, emotionally, physically. Some of you all on this line have some deep-rooted, bitter issues for somebody hurt you, offended you, stole from you. Some of you all are wrapped into some very entangled situations. Why are you teaching so strong, Apostle Ephraim, so that we can break that off of you? We teach strong in this ministry. Why? Because God has taught the leaders, my husband and I, how to be strong. We teach strong because that's how we received our training from Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit is responsible for training us. A lot of times we don't understand who Jesus really is because of the way Hollywood depicts him. But if you really wanted to get trained by the Holy Spirit and by Jesus, oh, my goodness, I wonder if you would survive. Because when Jesus gets through with you, you're tough. When Jesus gets through with you, you can take a licking and keep on ticking. When Jesus gets through training you through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, when Christ is knocked at your front door, you won't be found all frantically. I want to talk to you about using the Word of God today as your master handbook. I want to talk to you today about how it's so important to have the Word of God inside of you. It's so important nowadays to really have that relationship with Jesus so that throughout any obstacles in your life, whether it be great, whether it be bad, you can still stay clear and level-headed. Staying sober-minded, I'm through the Word of God. How to take crisis, how to receive blows, how to receive news that you're not privy to, how to receive and deal with all types of trials and tribulations that you are unwarranted about. How can we, in the face of turmoil, in the face of tragedy, stay calm? It is through the Word of God. When you're dealing with crisis, when you're dealing with situations, you're going to have those moments where you are unnerved and you may shed some tears. Even Jesus cried. Even Jesus cried when he was in the garden. He was about to get turned over because Judas was about to expose him and betray him. But even you can find out in Matthew and Luke, I mean, you read your word, you can Google it and find it. But even in Luke, specifically, Luke 22 and 44, it talks about how when Jesus had cried out to his Father and he was about to go under this whole thing for saving our sins, he asked God, please remove this cup from me. He knew what he was about to endure, and he was like, on second thought, God, maybe let's figure out another way. Maybe we can kill an animal or something, you know. Maybe we could do a whole Noah Ark situation. He was rethinking that one, and I don't blame him. That's a tough thing to go through, dying on the cross the way he did. But he was talking to our Heavenly Father, and he talked to him. He said, please remove this cup from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible talks about in the 43rd verse, it talks about how an angel appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Your prayer, although it may not change immediately your situation, you may be called to suffer, like Apostle Andrew and I were called to suffer. In order to really reach our breakthrough, to tap into the glory and the power of God that rests upon this ministry, we were called to suffer. And so many nights we cried out to God and said, is there another way? Take this cup from us. We don't want it anymore. It is a bitter cup. God didn't take that trial from us. We had to go through it. We had to feel rejection. We had to feel lack. We had to be hungry with no food. We had to feel like there was no money in our pocket. We had to feel these things. Why? Because God was making our character. He was taking out greed. He was taking out any type of spirit that was not like him, pride. He was humbling us. So sometimes in your trials, in your tribulations, you may be called to go through it. Not everyone that comes to this ministry will just automatically be healed and the trial be removed, because we recognize that, yes, there are some trials and afflictions that the enemy puts in your life, but then there are some trials and affliction that God allows because he's making you as leader. But the power of prayer will send forth angels just like they came to Jesus to strengthen.
Yes.
Your baby
Amen.
Girl is laying in the balance of life or death. Some of you all have even lost loved ones, as we say, before their time. Young, babies, teenagers, even young adults. You've got to be mindful of your main priority on this earth. Your main priority on this earth is more than just your and you and your career. You were not put on this earth to be a postal worker. You were not put on this earth. This is just something that the Holy Spirit gifted you in or maybe even blessed you to work in as a career. That's not why you're here on this earth.
Amen.
Your main purpose on this earth is to push the supernatural and spiritual workings of God, to be the example for petitioning, for prayer, for spreading the good news, the gospel. Prayer will bring forth strength. Angels, we know it in the Word of God, have come to Jesus to strengthen him. Although he was asking for the cup to be removed, the angels of God still came and gave him strength. Why? Because he had to still go through. But he had a nevertheless mentality. If it's not your will, then thy will be done. I want to talk to you today about the law of recognition. The law of recognition. And I want to talk specifically about recognizing the Bible to be your master success handbook. Recognizing the Bible as your tool, your handbook to be successful in any situation.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.